My mother and father were born, face that way?
Yeah.
My mother and father were born in Iasi, Romania. That was the second largest city in Romania, see. My father, as youth, drove a horse-drawn taxi. And my mother, schools were over there, weren't public, they were private. And when one of her cousins went to the United States, she went to school on her cousin's name as a private school. And she told the story that she used to come home when it was dark. And yeah. Sometimes she even stumbled over.
Try not to rustle the paper too much, so you can look at it.
Try not.
Go ahead.
Okay.
She used to come home when it's dark.
Yeah, sometimes she even trip over cows that were sleeping in the fields. Later on, she worked as a seamstress, and she said she even sold for royalty. Now, my father, he came to the United States, like other young men did, before they were supposed to be inducted into the service, to get out of the military service. And my mother came a later date, but she was brought over by his parents. Now, I didn't know exactly what the relationship was. I never did inquire. My mother's mother died when she was born, and she had a lot of children, and one of her older sisters took care of her and raised her. That's in Romania, see?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, when my father came here, he was a pants maker. He made pockets for pants. So he had like a sweatshop. Did you hear of today? And some of the immigrants went to these sweatshops and worked. They lived in Brooklyn, where Aunt Lillian and Aunt Marie were born. See? And then they came to L.A. They went by ship to New Orleans, and then they took the Southern Pacific from New Orleans to L.A., which was probably the most economical way. And my father, I guess, he worked over there in New York as, a pants maker, and I really don't know what my mother did. But however, she went out with even like my father's brother, your Uncle Sam, and whatnot. See, those days, a lot of people didn't marry for love. They just married for convenience or someone they knew, like the next-door neighbor or stuff like that. Okay. When they came here, they stayed over my mother's cousin's house, who was, by the way, a pants maker. My father worked there for a while. And then they went and bought a home near downtown Los Angeles. They didn't, he didn't believe in paying rent. And then he went to a peddler. He became a peddler.
Okay, so while
peddler, yeah.
While he was making pants,
yeah,
he was able to make enough money to afford to buy a house.
I don't know how much money he brought over with him or whatnot, but of course those days, the houses were very, very reasonable. Of course, people didn't make too much either. What he did when he worked, he mentioned the fact that he made a dollar a day. Instead of working 5 days a week, he worked 6 days a week. That was $6 a week. And that was enough to maintain a family and whatnot, see. Everything was so reasonable. Anyway, they bought that home over there. It was nice. And my mother used to call up the grocery store on Main Street. See, it was, I think it was Ralph's, and another one was Albert Cohen, and they used to deliver stuff, groceries, to the house. And, of course, it was nearby a mom and papa store, but I guess maybe things were too expensive over there or whatnot, I don't know. Anyway, I was born over that home. 1519 East 15th Street, February the 8th, 1908. And here's some instance, but while we're living over there, see, I went to kindergarten
Do you need something to drink?
No.
Okay.
My mouth is always dry.
Okay, you went to kindergarten.
See, I went to kindergarten while I was living over there, and I remember some of the incidents. Say, now, after graduating or getting out of kindergarten, at that point we had moved to another place. Say. So I remember we used to go down to the beach. We had a horse and buggy, and we used to go to the beach occasionally. Say, and like a 4th of July, my Uncle Seymour and I, who was about 2 years younger than I, we used to pick up these firecrackers, and it didn't explode. And we used to sit on the curb and I used to bend them over and put a match and go, shh. The reason I'm bringing that out, see, through my life I had a lot, you read about different kids getting injured from firecrackers or this or this or that and whatnot, but knock on wood, in all my life I had a lot of incidents, like certain incidents, but I never was injured, see. I'll probably tell some more of those. Okay, as I said, I went to kindergarten. I don't know how I got there, but I remember once walking home by myself, and it was about 6 blocks, even crossing a certain boulevard, like Washington Boulevard. Of course, there wasn't that many cars or vehicles, whatnot, those days. But I walked home by myself, and I remember in those days, they didn't pave the streets like they do now, not many of them, it's just boulevards, say. So when you're coming home, I remember two colored kids pushing me in a fresh tarred street. They used to put tar on, spread it, and then throw sand on it to keep the dust down. So I remember that incident. I remember that we lived about a half a block away from the streetcar line, and I remember I got a rock and put on the car tracks. See? Waiting, the car came over there, and the motorman stopped the car and took the rock off. So anyway, then we moved to this other place where I went to grade school and whatnot. And the first time, like, we went to the Rose Bowl, Rose Parade game, the Rose Parade, we went by horse and buggy, say. And it was so cold, I remember those kids went over there to some of the cars were parked right along Colorado Boulevard. See, at that day, they didn't have the street vacant from vehicles and whatnot. We put our hands on the radiator of their car to warm it up. So, let's see what else I have here. Oh, yeah. Even when we moved to this one place over here, we had a builder kind of do some work on the street, on the home and whatnot. And I remember he came over, and my father had strung some lights over from the house to the barn, and it was kind of drizzly. And I wanted to turn on the light to show him we had light. And I remember that you hear about people getting electrocuted. I just felt it. Electricity or whatnot. You know, I just took my hand away, you see. It's another incident, no injury. Another thing, where we lived at that particular place, we had a lot of red ants over there. And I took a bottle of gasoline or whatnot and put on the hole for the ants and just lit a match and whatnot. There's still no injuries.
By the way, you mentioned that that your father became a peddler. What did he peddle?
Fruit. See, he used to have like a route. So he used to stop over here, just like I remember when I lived in Osage. You remember they used to have the peddlers used to come around, and the Helms Bakery used to come around, and the milkman used to come around. Remember that? Anything
really,
like that?
I don't remember Osage, yeah. But I do remember the Helmsman.
Yeah. Anyway, nowadays with the supermarkets, you know, that people go there and they get everything. Say, but years ago it was different. Let's see. My thoughts.
You were looking to see what was next.
Oh, yeah. Now, you know, like Grandpa, he was a kind of tight and whatnot, but he was one of the first ones to buy a car, and that was during World War One, where apparently he probably made a lot of money. So he bought what they call a seven-passenger Mitchell. So, and of course, he bought a truck for his business. So that was the end of the horse and buggy days. So, and well, we used to go not too many places, you know. We went Mount Baldy or this or that. Places, not too many places. Okay, that's that. We'll begin to. Okay. Oh, yeah, during the war we had like a Victory Garden scene. I said, by the way, I didn't mention before that when the guys pushed me in the tar, you know, my mother used to make our clothes for us, and we had fancy clothes, not ordinary clothes, you know, fancy shirts and stuff like that. So anyway, during the World War One, we had a Victory Garden, and she made a flag, I remember that, out of dyed flower sacks. They used to sell to market, you know, like red, white, and blue. And I remember the teacher came over to see our Victory Garden, which they encouraged people to have, and she admired that flag so much. A great big flag.
Was it Victory Garden, just planting your own fruits and vegetables?
Yeah, fruits and vegetables, yeah. We raised, well, corn and garlic and a great big pumpkin. I could hardly even pick move it. I had to roll it. It was so big. Mm-hmm. And different other things. Of course, a lot of weeds, you know. Okay. Anyway, see, in junior high school, now I go to junior high school. Well, anyway, in school I wasn't too ambitious. I just got by without doing, trying to strive for perfection, say. And by the way, I listened to my mother quite a bit, and she said she wanted me to be a banker because she figured that the bankers had such easy hours, you know, from 10 to 3. So I took the commercial course, bookkeeping, typing, and whatnot. And in junior high, that was the last year, I did office practice work, which I used to count, not alone, but with other students too, to count the money from the cafeteria. So one girl and myself, we used to go to the bank with the money, say, to alternate or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And the teacher said, now, if anybody approaches you, run like heck. It was about two blocks away, you know. Nowadays they say, well, just give them the money and run, see?
Right.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
So anyway, in high school, too, I didn't have too much ambition, but I took bookkeeping, and I just on weekends, I used to take all my bookkeeping to do, and then I came home, came to school on Monday, and a lot of people used to copy what I had because they couldn't, you know, savvy the figures. Bookkeeping too much. I was pretty good in bookkeeping. In fact, even in junior high, there was I took algebra, and the teacher said, well, you go as fast as you want on the book. So another kid and myself, we went and we did two semesters of algebra in one. Hmm. But of course, to this day, I don't remember very much about it.
And well, so in junior high and high school, where were your thoughts? What occupied most of your time? Or think?
Well, playing. I used to go to the lot and play baseball, you know, or something like that. And, even before that, I used to go and get these garbage cans, you know, and make like swords and whatnot, and that was like a shield. Mm-hmm. But I was mostly playing, say. Mm-hmm. But then at junior high, by the way, I got a job a couple doors away from me, saying it was worked 2 hours, 25 cents an hour, say, and I made about $3 a week. But then my brother and some other people, they, kids that we knew, they start caddying, and they used to make maybe Saturday and Sunday more money than I did, tied down, say, so I quit my job, and I also used to go caddying. We used to, at a golf course, say. It used to be $1.25 a round, and then get a 25-cent tip, and sometimes one round on Saturday, and most of the time two rounds on Sunday. So it's pretty good. Anyway, I saved up enough money, And in high school, I bought a car, a Model T Ford, I paid cash for it, see, $37. Mm-hmm. I also bought some of my clothes and stuff like that, you know. So,
so when you were...
By the way, my father taught me how to drive a car with a stick shift, see. When I got this Ford, it was pedals, see, for one pedal for low, and then you release it, and then it'd be like in high, mm-hmm. and one pedal was a brake, and another was for reverse. So I got in that Ford, I didn't even know how to drive it, see, but I got in there, and I went through across a certain avenue with traffic. Wasn't much traffic those days. If it happened these days, I'd probably be injured or killed or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, okay, any other questions?
Well, given that you were really good at mathematics and also bookkeeping, it's a wonder that that you didn't move into that direction.
Well, yes, I did move into that direction, but of course, I took this commercial course, and I was not eligible for college, although I don't think I had ambition to go to college and do a lot of study. I didn't care much for studying. Mm-hmm. However, when I got out of school, it was very easy. I graduated, by the way, I graduated high school February 1927, which was a lot of jobs around. I went to downtown. They had the YMCA where they had free employment office mm-hmm. over there. I got a job driving a truck for the Hostess Bakery. I used to go around to the warehouse to pick up frozen eggs and raisins and stuff like that. And it was 6 days a week or 5.5 days a week. But then they decided to work late on Friday night. So we get Saturday off, and as I said before, I listened to my mother quite a bit. She said, thought the job was too hard for me, so after working there a few months, I quit. So then I got a job as a timekeeper clerk for this Terrazzo outfit. I was the only person in the office, you know, mm-hmm. and I had worked there for about 3 years, and then I was... I wanted to get out and like be a salesman and stuff like that instead of being tied down in office all day long. Of course, my father says, don't quit. But he'd tell me depression was coming on, and I quit. And then I wasn't able to get a job. I went around and says, well, I'm sorry, we're not hiring, we're laying off people. Mm-hmm. So then I finally, Uncle Sam taught me the produce business. I went into the produce business. I didn't like it. I didn't even do too good. And after a certain period, I quit. I took civil service examinations, mm-hmm. and they sent me out. I obtained a position in Mojave, working for the Division of Highways as a timekeeper clerk. And it was from where we lived. At 5010 South Normandy, it took me, a little over an hour and a half to go there. Wait a minute. I think that was rising. Yeah, so anyway, it was very hot out there, and I didn't like it a bit. By the way, I stayed over there. Mm-hmm. I stayed in a certain hotel over there. There wasn't any air conditioning or whatnot, and... I finally was able to move to a certain room over there where the breeze faced a certain position that the breeze came in, and there was a lot of railroad trains used to pass by going between there up north, say from Los Angeles up north. Mm-hmm. I used to wake up in the morning, there was soot from the engines, say, mm-hmm. from the steam engines right on my pillow. It was so hot that I didn't feel like eating at all. So in the morning I knew I needed food, so So I used to have a breakfast steak. For lunch, just a malt and milk. And dinner, probably nothing. Mm. So after that, I got a few jobs and whatnot. And you see, that was in between the produce business. Mm-hmm. Was it? And I got a few jobs, and it didn't last long, and so I figured I'd get into the produce business again, because it was steady, though I didn't make too much, didn't like it. Mm-hmm. Then Uncle Sam and I, we opened up that bonded commission merchant house, and we sold produce to a lot of big outfits, for example, even Blondes and Ralph's and Jim Dandy's and stuff like that. But, boy, yeah, because we had a hotshot salesman. And after a while, when he quit, the business went down. So we sold out. And I went into the produce business again, selling to restaurants like Macombo and stuff like that.
Was that Aero Produce?
Well, no, that was after Aero Produce.
So Aero Produce was the bonded...
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I see. So when did you start with Aero Produce?
I don't remember dates. Mm-hmm. Of course, if you're going to rewrite this or anything along your dates, I could check it out.
Well, I'm not planning right.
So anyway, before the Aero Produce and whatnot, I got married for the first time and had my daughter Lois, and my first wife passed away. And then after a period, I met Mother. Mm-hmm. And whatnot. Bobber in the Aero Produce, say. And then I hung on to it. And I was playing the stock market, and I was doing so well. In fact, I was making more money on the stocks than I was in the produce business, or just as much. So I figured, well, what the heck, I didn't need it. I just go on making money on the stock market, which didn't last too long, say. So then I took the examination for the post office. And I didn't pass it too high. I was ready, kind of prepare to take it over again, and they called me to go to work. And really the best job I ever had was the automatic raises and fringe benefits and breaks and whatnot. Well, previous to that, one of the jobs I had was working at the studio, say. Of course, I wasn't this one picture, this B picture with George O'Brien and Greta Neeson. But then I was worked for a studio in the scenic art department, which was mostly painting, which they paint different scenes and whatnot. And I saw a lot of stars and stuff like that, which is very good. And then I tried to get into the union. And he says, well, where are you working? I said, I'm not working. He said, well, we can't hire you unless you have a job. So it was tough to get a job, tough to go back in there again. Mm-hmm. And then at one time I was... had this driving job down the studio, too. Well, anyway, you want to cut it off for a while? Let me...
Okay. All right, let's ask this question here. How would you compare the kids? How would you, of the four kids, would you say such and such took after your mother, such and such took after your father, or were each of the kids within the family? This one was like this, this one was like that.
Okay, it's not turned on yet, is it?
It's turned on.
Our youth, our children, our four kids are very, very close. I think that probably Aunt Marie and myself took after my father, and Uncle Seymour and Aunt Lillian took after my mother, say.
In what way did each of you take after each parent?
Well, I think that I'm reading myself more like business, see, which my father, he was a businessman, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Although he wasn't able to read and write, and my mother took care of the business, she took care of the banking and stuff like that. I might as well tell you this, that see, we moved to that second place, and then they bought a third place, and then the fourth place, and then the fifth place, see. So he was very aggressive, although he was in business, and though he wasn't able to read and write.
And then Seymour and Little took after your mom in which way?
Well, it's pretty hard to say. Uncle Seymour was the best natured one of us, I would say. The more liked of.
How about Lil?
She was not too brilliant. Of course, I can't say my mother was dumb, but I guess all his four children more or less individual, say. Mm-hmm. Get into peddling or stuff like that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But a person with education, he figured, should get into something more advanced.
Right. By the way, how old were you when your mother died?
Mm-hmm. Maybe about 32 or so.
Were you married at that time?
Yeah, I was married, and it was that was before Lois was born.
Right. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that you probably took that pretty hard.
Yeah, very hard, yeah. By the way, once I brought a girlfriend over, and my mother said she didn't like her, so I didn't take her out again, see. You know, I just kind of listened to her, see.
So how did you equate your own feelings with that of, you know, your mother's? It seemed like you were a bit passive in that way.
Well, I just know don't what you mean about this one incident.
Well, just in general, I mean, say if your mom said, well, you shouldn't see, I don't like that girl, then did you think, you know, do I like her? Yes, I want to see her. No, I don't like her. I don't want to see her. Or was it just...
It's just a girl, see.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't love the girl.
Well, I know, but I mean, just in other things, as far as your mom saying,
well,
you should quit this job because you're working too hard. And
Yeah. I just listened to her, see.
Mm-hmm. Was there ever a time when you listened to her and you thought that maybe afterwards that she was wrong? Did that ever occur to you that you can remember?
No, but she didn't tell me too many things, you know what I mean? Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things you mentioned as far as how when you were kids, all the kids were very close. And these days, you know, while you still stay in touch, but I just remember, say, in myself growing up, that occasionally we would see some of your sisters and brother, you know, on occasions, but it didn't seem like, you know, that you saw each other that much.
No, you're right about that. Is it still on?
Yeah.
Well, through Uncle Sam, you know, see, he was very close to my mother and us, you know, he came over and took us here and there and whatnot, you know, he went on trips, you know, I'm not talking about long trips. Mm-hmm. He did take my mother to Yosemite and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Of course, I didn't go along, but he took us to various places like myriad hot springs or this and other places. Up the mountains or whatnot, and it seemed like later on in the years we kind of drifted mostly drifted apart. See, everybody has their own hang-ups, see.
Did you go to the Normandy place? Is that?
Yeah, we passed by the Normandy place.
Does that still exist?
It's still there.
So they haven't torn that one down?
No, no. Just that one over there. Where I was born, 15th Street.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't know now. That was a few years back.
So when you think about when you worked as the time clerk, and you were inside and you wanted something that was, you know, going to bring you in contact with people or going to be more outside.
Yeah.
So, I mean, ultimately, even though you didn't like the produce business, that sort of provided a bit of that. But at any point, did you ever think, you know, gee, I'd really like to do this or I'd really like to do that, and then try to do it, other than, you know, when you were painting scenery? And also given the fact that you apparently were good in math or good in bookkeeping, and, you know, and you could have done something there if you had liked it.
Well, honestly, I like that either, in bookkeeping. Well, now, you know, of course, sometimes you make a mistake in books, and you have to. It takes you hours and hours. You go back to all your posting and stuff like that to make a balance out. So I didn't say I liked that. But one job I did have, that was with Columbia Steel, a subsidiary of U.S. Steel, was in Huntington Park. And I liked it over there because there were a lot of people around my own age. We went on a picnic once, and we had an indoor baseball team and stuff like that, you know. It was really nice. But then things got so bad that they started laying off people, and I was the last one to come onto the payroll. So they let me go, I guess other people too. So they started cutting down.
But, let's see.
By the way, I was a typist over there. I used to type up invoices.
Okay.
I went to the warehouse one, and it was really good. They even had a teletype, you know, that you... Oh, yeah, it was they had a plant in Torrance, you know, and you used to get out there and send notes to some of the people over there and stuff. But what's the question?
Oh, did you live at home up until the time that you were married the first time?
Yeah, we all four of us did. All four of us kids. We all lived at home until we got married. That's what they used to do years ago.
Right. And then so, obviously, Lil was married first to Sam.
Yeah, and then...
How old was Lil? She was very young, wasn't she?
I think she got married when she was 18 or 19. Mm-hmm. And Sam was about the same age. She's just a little older than her. Then Henri got married, and incidentally, I think I even told you, see, when they had the Olympics over there in 1932, the marathon ran right in front of our house on Normandy Avenue. And, yeah, by the way, see, Henri and her husband were divorced, and they lived at home. And that was Paul and Marie lived at over our place there. We had like a three-bedroom home. Sitting in the den was converted into a bedroom, say.
Mm-hmm.
And he was born in 1932.
Paul.
Yeah. And he was over there when the Olympic went by. Of course, he didn't know anything about it, but he didn't remember it.
Uh-huh.
And then after Aunt Marie was married, and Uncle Seymour was married, was the last one of the four to get married.
Mm-hmm. Were you shy around?
I was very shy, just like you were shy. You remember you went to dance, ask that girl to dance, that you even knew her?
I remember.
At Harper Noe's wedding?
I remember that.
And listen, see, I was so shy that, it's a senior B. We had a dance, say, you know, senior B. That's a B12.
Right.
And asked the girl to dance, the words didn't come out of my mouth, see. So one girl I remember we danced at, see, and, by the way, Marie and a friend of mine taught me how to dance, see. really tough for me. I had a hard time learning. Mm-hmm. So I danced with one girl, see, and I remember her, see, Helen Ringer, see, we danced. She held her around when I was somebody doing pumping oil. Very shy. It seemed like I was shy right along until the last couple of years. I think, looking back at myself, of course, you don't. I don't think you even remember how shy I was. But even in a crowd or whatnot, you know, I didn't open my mouth too much. But it seemed like when I was over the Carters over there, I finally opened my mouth about something here. They would come in with something that I didn't even, wasn't able to finish where I started. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, over the club that I go to in this rap, by the way, I go to this Current Affairs, and I'm about the one contributing and opening my mouth the most of, over there. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not shy anymore. Just,
well, that's good. So,
any other questions?
Well, just the other thing is, which is, I think, a real subtle thing with me, but when I think about some of my educational accomplishments,
yeah,
or, you know, the fact that, you know, that I did tended to do well in school or was interested in certain things and also, yeah, continue to be interested in things even though, yeah, I'm not in school anymore. And I think back a little bit about, you know, just some of the encouragement that I got from you, say, with the encyclopedia set that you had, and then we looked up some things together and this and that. And my question is, and then also there is a an aspect of, about you which is very curious, almost like how does something work or interest behind it, but yet it just seemed that that aspect was never encouraged in you. I just wondered.
Encouraging what, me?
Yeah, maybe, I mean, on one hand, you know, you are interested in things and sometimes you put time into investigating it or learning about it, but then on the other hand, you mentioned that in school that, you know, you didn't really care to study that much, so you really weren't interested in a lot of things in school. So I'm just trying to understand, you know, it just seems like if you had wished, you know, that you had gone into something or learned more about something or opened yourself up to something, or if or why that never sort of happened, even though it seems like you have it inside of you.
I didn't have ambition to be for perfection. See, I got by, just like Mother was telling about Uncle Happy, never studied. And still, he got by.
So. Well, I'm not talking about school so much. I'm talking about to sort of satisfy any curiosity or interest that you had aside from school.
Well, I didn't. You know what I mean? I was I was interested in the stock market. I like to make money and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. One thing I didn't like, the produce business. You know, like tied down, calling orders, and running around trying to get stuff, and sometimes I wasn't able to buy it. See, to get out there in the morning, where it was freezing or rain or stuff like that, you know, I mean, it wasn't very good. See, and I hated like soliciting. You know, you go to a place like I used to do soliciting, say, in a place I go in to get my car. Well, who's Jack Bronson? Another guy says, like, I remember one hospital I went to and says, well, we've been dealing with so-and-so for 20 years. I don't know why I should change. You know, I mean, it was hard soliciting, see, hard breaking in. And you quote cheaper prices, and they know very well you raise it up later on. They all do that. And sometimes you think you're set, and you have a customer for, we'll say, life or whatnot, and finally you lose it. Like, the biggest one I lost was a carnation company. Mm-hmm. It was a very good profit and stuff, and things like that.
But yeah, you did it for so long.
Well, because I tried other things, and you know, you just can't stop.
Right.
You know, they have to, expenses go on every day.
Right. Okay. All right, well, I think I've got...